Stu's 30K. They don't make them like this anymore. I did not expect it to happen, but it did. As the road flattened out in front of me for that last third of a mile, I began to transcend the race. I was working hard, my legs were tired, but I was no longer there. I was laying down 20 seconds per mile faster than my planned race pace at the end of a long, hilly, and grueling 30K, but I had dropped into the race zone. I was outside my body. Time collapsed. Effort was irrelevant. Through training and execution, I had slipped into the elusive flow state, and all was right in the world. You cannot find the race flow state without putting in the training. The training buys you a ticket to the show. The race tells your fortune. Every great once in a while, the training effect collides with race effort, and it coalesces into a beatific tapestry of effort and form, and you transcend. In the old days, a man named Stu wanted to create a training run for those in and around central Massachusetts who were training for Boston. So was born Stu's 30K, a brutal, grinding race around the Wachusett Reservoir in Clinton, Massachusetts in early March. The race was designed to coincide with the long run if you were training for Boston. The course was designed to be difficult. In those days of distance running, they didn't look for flat courses to make everyone feel good about themselves. They sought out hard, hilly New England fare that would build confidence for Boston. Stu's circles the reservoir counterclockwise. The course consists of some back roads, but mostly two-lane highways open to traffic. There aren't many cars out on Sunday morning in Central Mass, and the way is well-marshaled. There are long stretches of open highway, but with the wide shoulders, you hardly notice the few cars that are out. Sections of the course are surrounded by forest, and parts run through New England towns and farms and neighborhoods. You'll sometimes be sheltered in the shade and sometimes open to the wind or the sun, depending on the weather. The race starts at 11 a.m., like many of the old races do, to give the day a chance to warm up. The course is difficult. Not crazy difficult like some sort of adventure race, but difficult enough to test your racing skills. 30K is 18.6 miles, long enough to make you know you've raced, but not yet a marathon. As you ply your way around the reservoir, you climb and descend consistent rolling hills. It's a loop course that ends up in the same place it starts, so you get about 1,100 feet of elevation gain and 1,100 feet of elevation loss. The rolling hills are not mountainous, but they never stop. It's a real grinder. You're either fighting up a hill or trying not to fight down a hill for most of the race. There are two whoppers in the last 2K to look forward to as you come into the finish that test your fitness, your strength, and your sanity. In places the road is broken by the frost and the camber is steep for icing, and it forces you to choose your foot plants wisely and with forethought. The shoulders are dusted deep with sand and salt, left like glacial till from the winter's ice. On the uphills, you have to be careful to stay out of the sand so as not to lose purchase with your stride. Sunday was almost a spring day, like spring was trying to escape, trying to break free, but winter had it by the tail and just wouldn't open its jaws enough to let spring go. That being said, it was the best weather I've ever seen for this race. It was sunny, in the mid-30s, with a 5 to 10 mile per hour breeze. The weather held for the whole race, which is not a guarantee for New England. The last two times I've run this race, I've finished in an impromptu snow squall. How did I end up here, grinding it out into the headwind and up the hills? Stu's wasn't on my training plan or race calendar. Well, I posted a question to my running club buddies last week. What's on your schedule? I've got another long pace run. We trade notes. They're also training for Boston, and sometimes our schedules overlap, and we can share all or part of a long run. The reply came back. Stu's. Huh. Stu's. I hadn't run Stu's in at least 5 years. Coach usually doesn't like me racing instead of training, but I figured there was no harm in asking. Last couple times I did run this race, I remember it kicked my ass and the weather was dicey. It seems 5 years is sort of the statute of limitation on bad race memories. But counter to my expectations, coach said, okay, just take it easy. Crap, now I had to race. Now I was worried, or maybe scared is a better description. I haven't raced much recently. I didn't have any idea how my legs and my brain would respond. Was I up to the challenge of Stu's 30K? What I had going for me is I know the course. I know a lot of the people who are running. I needed to get a long run in anyhow. What scared me is that I've never been very good at pacing. I historically go out too fast and pay for it. This course is rather unforgiving of those who don't know how to pace. And I was tired. It was the end of a long build cycle. This would be the last run of two back-to-back 50-mile-plus weeks with a bunch of long, hard step-up runs and other quality work. Would my legs be able to handle Stu's? The 2 days leading into the race were a 15-rep hill charge workout on Friday and a 1 hour and 15-minute recovery run on Saturday. It was the anti-taper. The die was cast when I hit the enter button on the registration. I got up early Saturday with Buddy and knocked out the recovery run in the woods to make sure I got at least 24 hours of rest before the race. What was the race plan now that an impromptu 30K popped into my training plan? Coach told me to run easy for the first half or so, keep it in zone 2 heart rate for the start, and then run faster than marathon pace for the last hour. And for 30K, that roughly translates into run the first half easy and race the second half. That was the plan, but you know how plans go when the race starts. The race wasn't until 11 a.m. I got up my normal time, had my oatmeal, my coffee, cleaned the kitchen, folded the laundry, and eventually started to gear up. I mixed up a couple bottles of Ucan for the race and a smoothie for after. I rubbed down my tired leg muscles with Flexol 454 to get some warm-up and some blood flow and get ready to go. The weather said mid-30s, right on the edge of warm and cold. I decided to dress a bit warmer, thinking that I needed to stay warm in the beginning of the race while I eased into it before I started working. So I went with tights, a long-sleeve tech shirt, and a running jacket and a winter hat and running gloves. I packed my bag with a change of dry clothes and other sundries, jumped into my truck, and headed the 15 miles or so west to Clinton. At the middle school, I parked and went in to grab my number. I met Brian, Tim, Paul, who were also using the race as a training run for Boston. And I also ran into some other folks from my club who were running it, either as a 30K or as part of two relay teams we had in the race. I wanted to get a good 15 to 20 minute warm-up in so I could round up the 20 miles for the day. And I also needed that warm-up to get my heart rate down into zone 2 for the start. At my advanced age, it takes 15 to 20 minutes for my heart rate to warm up and normalize. As usual, I thought that I had scheduled enough time, but you never have as much time as you think. Looking around and at my clubmates and the crowd, I got into the classic what-to-wear anxiety loop. And I was freaking out a bit that so many people were wearing shorts. I went back to my truck to see what else I had. I rummaged around and ended up ditching the jacket and instead wearing two tech shirts with my tights and swapping a racing cap for the winter hat. You'd think I'd learn after 20 years of racing. Less clothes ended up being a good choice as the sun did stay out and it was a nice day. It wasn't hot, but I did work up a good sweat from the effort. And I ditched the gloves a couple miles in, too. With the change of clothes, I had no pockets. I would have to make do with my one full bottle of Ucan. I had been preemptively sipping at the other bottle of Ucan while driving out and getting ready. So I choked down a preemptive Enduralyte for the salt, because I wouldn't be able to carry them. Not that cramps have ever been an issue for me, but better safe than sorry on a hilly course like this. After the clothing indecision and deliberation, now I was getting short on time. I headed down to the road to warm up. I could still get at least 10 minutes in. About 5 minutes out, I run into Brian and Tim coming the other way. So I turn around and join them, and we ran back to the start line. We all had different execution plans, and we wouldn't be running together much, like our typical Sunday-long runs. Tim planned to race the whole race as a tempo run. Brian wanted to practice racing the downhills and step it up in the second half. And I was planning on racing in from somewhere around the 8 or 9 mile mark. I didn't see Paul, but he's usually faster than me anyhow. We gathered up on the main road and were off. I worked at holding my effort level low and holding back as I warmed up. Tim went by and took off with his tempo run strategy, and we never saw him again. He ended up running just on 7 minute miles for the race. An excellent showing. I found Brian in the crowd and paced with him. There were maybe 300-400 total runners, a small field, and we spread out quickly. I was chatting with Brian when Kerry caught up with us. She was running the relay, and she announced her presence as I was talking about clothing choices and piped up from behind me, "No one wants to see that," to which I agreed that I don't even want to see myself naked. I was just trying to stay in zone two, throttling back my effort and holding my pace. Brian would take off down the hills, but then I'd catch him on the uphills and the flats. He was executing his theory that Boston is all about racing the downhills. As it usually is with a race this size, I locked in with some others who were at or around my pace. And with my effort level, I'd catch them on the uphills, and then I'd sort of lose them on the downs. Like when you have the cruise control set when you're driving, right? There was this dude wearing his iPhone on his arm and blasting music for everyone to hear. And then there was this dude who had "Follow me to the beer" written on the back of his shirt. And there was a young girl in shorts, maybe in her 20s, who was pacing along with us. And at one point, she was running just ahead of iPhone guy and me. And she had a beautiful, controlled form and mechanics. So I said to them, not realizing how creepy I must have sounded, "You have a beautiful form, very tight." And so we ran through the first 8 or 9 miles, trading places, always someone ahead, always someone behind. The first half was more hills than the back half, and my legs were tired. I felt the hills, but managed to stay in a low heart rate zone. My legs were tired, but seemed to be doing everything I asked of them without any hint of failure. I was tired from the start. My legs were sore and my knees were achy from the hard cycles. I focused on keeping my heart rate in zone 2 as much as possible and pushing my form on the hills. And not just the uphills, but the downhills too, holding on to the form, pushing the hips forward, running tall, good turnover, running from my core. And my quads were burning on the uphills, but not in a debilitating way. I never thought about walking. I kept picking up my feet and putting them down, and the race would come to me. The legs had none of that race pop in them, and there might be a crash, but it would come to me. And it was a beautiful day. The sun was out. The pack was thinned and spread out. I kept my discipline, continued to focus on running from my core, lifting my legs up the hills with my abs, holding the form tight on the downhills with my core, turnover and leg lift. And every few miles, we'd run past a relay exchange, and a small crowd would cheer encouragement. And every so often, one of the relay team vehicles from my club would roll by and cheer at me. Other than that, we were on our own on the New England roads. So it went through the early miles, holding it in zone 2, watching my form, trading places with the same people. I was passing iPhone guy again, and I recognized the song that he was playing. It was "You're Going to Go Far, Boy" by The Offspring, and he voiced his approval of my music acumen. And when I started racing, I would pass him for good, but now I had that song stuck in my head, which wasn't bad, because it wasn't a bad racing song. As I came up on mile 8, stenciled on the road, it was time to see if I could race. And the 8 mile mark hit on a long uphill, and I was already pushing my effort and my heart rate, so it hardly seemed like I could do much more. It hardly seemed the appropriate place to drop the pace, but in my mind, I was transitioning into racing. My heart rate had started to bounce up out of zone two on the hills, so I just stopped looking at my watch and raced. I ran by feel. I didn't race in the 5K sense. It was more like I just stopped holding back. I could see it in my mind's eye. Sure enough, at the top of a long pull up the highway, there was the 9 mile mark, there was the turn. The whole time, I was wondering what I could do. How much could I actually push the pace with my legs so tired? How much did I have? Did I have 30K in me? Or some other number that would leave me crashed on the course somewhere short of the school? I was still tired, but functional. I would be challenged to get to the top of the long hills with my legs burning a bit, but then recover on the downs, and I whipsawed between, I can't do this, and this isn't so bad. In my mind, I made the transition, though, at that halfway turn, and I was racing now. iPhone dude and shorts girl fell into my rear view, and I was steadily passing people. It seems that Follow Me to the Beer guy was executing a similar strategy because he steadily faded into the distance ahead of me. The hills on the backside are less severe, but we turned into that 5 to 7 mile an hour headwind. Not bad enough to damage you, but a bit of a drag. And the pack was too spread out to really draft. As leg weary as I was passing people, and that is always fun. In a neighborhood on the backside of the turn, I came up on a loose group of three women, and I squeezed between the first two on a tangent. And I hunted the last one, a lean, fit-looking lady, tucking around a turn, and I passed her on the outside tangent. When I pulled abreast of her, she shot me an evil sidelong glance, and I put her in my rear view with a little push. But I looked down at my watch out of habit and saw a 6-something on the pace, with a 6-something in the heart rate zone. Oops, there's racing, and there's stupid. This was mile 10 of a 30K. I pulled it back. Sometimes I'd be too much in a race trance to say anything. Sometimes I'd just say, beautiful day, huh? And so it went through the second half of the race. I was cranking out the miles with a nice pace. I wasn't looking at my watch. I was racing by feel. I was reeling people in, and it felt good. It was work. I was hurting, but I was racing. Cruising down a long, empty stretch up past the 16-mile mark, I saw a familiar stride ahead. It was one of my clubmates, Paul. Now, he's a very strong runner, and at more than 10 years my senior, he typically kicks my ass. So I couldn't resist having some fun with him, and I called out, Paul, I'm coming! Next thing I know, he stopped to tie his shoe, and I passed him. I wasn't expecting that. I have run this race before, and I knew that the last 2K has two killer hills. The first one is steep and short. The second one is a long and grinding and dumps you out about a third of a mile short of the finish. I know they are coming. I can lift my head, look into the distance, and see them coming to me. But I know the finish line is up there just on the other side of that hill. That little cafe with the swinging sign is where it levels out, and then a third of the mile to the finish. The hills are hard, and my legs are tired, but I'm racing. I will not stop. I will not walk. I will slow and struggle, but I will race. On my right, the oncoming Sunday morning traffic breaking down the hill towards the town center. On my left, the broken cement slab sidewalk. Small houses and shops with postage stamp lawns browned and dirty from the Massachusetts winter. Under my feet, the potholed and torn street of an American town. In my head, determination and resignation. In my lungs, the cool spring New England air of another Boston training cycle. Lift the knees, pull and lift with the core. The finish line is near. I can smell it. In a few more steps, I can see it. Paul was describing it to me afterwards. He said he was gaining on me as I struggled up that last hill. He had me in his sights, and he was holding on. And he said, once we crested the hill and hit the flat spot into the finish, I shifted gears. He looked at his watch, and I was running in the mid-sevens on that last stretch as he tried to hold on to me. To me, as I crested the hill, I found the flow state. and everything was fine, and everything was as it was supposed to be. Legs, lungs, body, and mind in that perfect synchronicity where there is no thought and no struggle, and time does not exist, only forward motion and peace.